Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
An Irish Free State, or is it? The Deutschmark heads south, and ice hockey fans marvel at the new penalty shot. It's December 1921.
100 years from today.
It has been a dizzying start to December for Irish nationalists trying to follow the talks in London. On the very first day of the month, Prime Minister Lloyd George announced that he had offered to Irish Republicans Dominion status within the British Empire, equivalent to Canada. In theory, the new government of Northern Ireland could choose to be a part of the fledgling Dominion, but in practice, most observers understood that it would make the present partition of the island of Ireland permanent. The Irish Republicans publicly rejected the government's proposed settlement on the grounds not only of the partition, but that it would require an oath of allegiance to the Crown from all Irish parliamentarians. However, the revolutionary leader Michael Collins met Mr. Lloyd George at 10 Downing Street to discuss what he called the remaining points of difference. He came away with an agreement that accepts a division of Ireland and Dominion status, in which the Lord Lieutenant, a largely hated office in the South, will be replaced by a Governor General such as Canada's or Australia's. Key ports will remain within the control of the Royal Navy. There is an oath, but whether it is one of allegiance to the Crown as understood elsewhere in the Empire is a subtler question, and one that the clever Mr. Collins feels is sufficiently nuanced to be finessed according to taste. And so at 2 a.m. in the Cabinet Room in Downing Street, representatives of the government and of the Irish Republicans signed an agreement creating a new Irish Dominion that will arise by the end of 1922. In the meantime, there will be a, quote, provisional government of Southern Ireland, and the Irish Revolutionary War is at an end. Shannon flow? Well, His Majesty the King has summoned Parliament to ratify the agreement. At Sandringham, His Majesty received in audience the Lord Chamberlain, the Earl of Cromer, who presented the King with an address from the Houses of Parliament of Northern Ireland. Most gracious Sovereign, we, Your Majesty's most dutiful and loyal subjects, the Senators and Commons of Northern Ireland in Parliament assembled, having learnt of the passing of the Irish Free State Constitution Act 1922, do by this humble address pray Your Majesty that the powers of the Parliament and Government of the Irish Free State shall no longer extend to Northern Ireland. What of the reaction down south? In Dublin, Eamon de Valera, who was not a delegate at the talks but styles himself as President of an Irish Republic, said that he and two other members of his so-called cabinet were not in favour of ratifying the agreement, but had referred the question to his Parliament, the Dáil Éireann, for further debate. In the Dominion, on which the new Irish state is to be modelled, Canada, the general election has seen a wipeout of the ruling Conservative Party. The Tories lost 104 seats, including that of the Prime Minister, Arthur Meighan, and 11 members of his cabinet. The Liberal Party won a narrow majority, and its leader, William Lyon Mackenzie King, will be the next Prime Minister. Agnes MacPhail of the Progressive Party has become the first woman to be elected to the House of Commons in Ottawa.
I'm a wearing necking and head, checking in cologne, so that's why they call me checking in rose. Even a piano in the parlor, Father bought for 10 cents and a dollar. Second-hand coils, I'm betting second-hand coils. I never get a single thing that's new. Even Jakey Cohen, he's the man I adore, had the nerve to tell me he's been married before.
She's wearing second-hand hats, second-hand clothes, second-hand pearls, because in Germany, that's all she can afford. In the Weimar Republic, the value of the Deutschmark dropped sharply upon the news that prices are almost 60% higher than they were at the beginning of the year, and that in the last month, the cost of living had increased by 22%. In Austria, a similar economic situation prevails, and as a result of soaring prices for basic goods, riots have broken out in Vienna. Shops are being looted and foreign hotel guests attacked and robbed. A delegation from the self-proclaimed Far Eastern Republic has arrived in Washington, D.C., seeking diplomatic recognition from the United States and American assistance in driving Japanese troops out of Siberia. More lost territory for the Bolsheviks under the terms of the Treaty of Kars. Territory in the Western Armenian Soviet Socialist Republic has been returned to Turkey, including Mount Ararat of biblical fame. The former Kars Oblast will now be governed by Turkey as the provinces of Kars and Ardahan. In the United States, President Harding, instead of sending the State of the Union address by mail and having it read out loud, opted to go to Congress and deliver it in person. He is advocating early refunding of foreign debts, relief for cooperative agriculture associations, and increased humanitarian aid for the famine in the Soviet Union.
10 million soldiers to the war have gone, who may never return again. 10 million mothers' hearts must break for the one who died in vain. Heads bowed down in sorrow in her lonely years, I heard a mother murmur through her tears.
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
I brought him up to be my pride and joy.
And joy, who dared to place a musket on his shoulders to shoot some other mother's darling boy. Let nations arbitrate their future troubles. It's time to lay the sword and gun away.
There'd be no war today if mothers all would say,
I didn't raise my boy to be a soldier.
You may not have raised your boy to be a soldier, but Uncle Sam feels differently. The names of 11,000 draft dodgers, as determined by the U.S. Department of War, were ordered to be published in the Congressional Record. On the other hand, a Senate subcommittee investigating capital punishment in the U.S. Army has announced that of the many soldiers sentenced to death during the recent World War, only 11 have actually been executed. In Guatemala, President Carlos Herrera has been deposed in a coup d'état led by Army General José María Orellana. The United States government will now be regulating the right to broadcast wireless radio signals commercially. It will require a license from the Department of Commerce Bureau of Navigation for all transmitters. Two specific frequencies on the AM amplitude modulation portion of the electromagnetic spectrum will be allocated. Stations broadcasting news reports will do so on the 485-meter wavelength, with entertainment broadcasting permitted on 360 meters.
Take me up, up, up with you.
Ships will be a lot safer than they were when that earthbound swain pleaded, "Take me up with you, dearie." For the first time, a manned airship has been flown not with hydrogen, but with non-flammable helium. The United States Navy flew the C-7, a C-class blimp, from Hampton Roads, Virginia, to Washington and back. The C-7 is powered by two engines and has a gondola hanging from it, large enough to carry four people. In sports news, the Grey Cup is the championship of Canadian football, commissioned in 1908 by the then Governor General, Earl Grey. This year, for the first time ever, a team from Western Canada got to challenge for the cup. How did it go? Well, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, the Argonauts defeated the Edmonton Eskimos 23-0. In American football, the Chicago Staleys have beaten the previously undefeated Buffalo All-Americans 10-7. The owner of the Buffalo team, Frank McNeil, had agreed to the game, thinking it was merely a postseason exhibition. But the commissioner of the American Professional Football Association now says that Buffalo's defeat makes Chicago the 1921 league champion. In Buffalo, aggrieved fans are calling it the Staley Swindle. In English football, the governing body, the Football Association, has banned women from playing at FA-affiliated pitches, which are the only ones with spectator facilities. The association says, quote, "The game of football is quite unsuitable for females." Enough with football in its various iterations. Frank Patrick of the Pacific Coast Hockey Association was visiting England, took in a polo match, and was impressed when the referee, after a foul by one player, ordered a so-called penalty shot in which the opposing team gets a clear crack at goal. Mr. Patrick said he got a kick out of it and determined to introduce it to his own sport, and he has. The first penalty shot in the history of ice hockey has been taken in one of the first games of the Pacific Coast Hockey Association. The shot missed, but the opportunity to score will surely come again, and possibly within days. In Chicago, a violent riot broke out involving some 360,000 people. It began when police attempted to make arrests during picketing by striking meatpackers. 9 people have been shot, 1 fatally, and residents of the Windy City are in a state of shock. Said Halim Pasha was the former Grand Vizier of the Ottoman Empire. He had recently moved to Italy following his acquittal on charges of treason. However, it is his signature on the document authorizing the deportations of Armenians that is said to have led to their mass slaughter. Said Halim Pasha was in Rome and returning to his hotel when Arshavir Shirakian of the Armenian Revolutionary Foundation identified him, drew his gun, and assassinated him. Said Halim Pasha is dead at 56. A world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues as Germany's economic situation deteriorates. The German Federal Council has increased the postal, telephone and telegraph rates and the cost of railway tickets to approximately 20 times higher than what they were before the World War just 7 years ago. On the other hand, after a rupture of nearly 5 years, Germany and the United States have re-established full diplomatic relations. In Berlin, Mr. Ellis Dressel has presented his credentials as U.S. Chargé d'Affaires to President Friedrich Ebert. The Allied Reparations Commission has announced that it has been delivered of forfeited German ships worth some 756 million gold marks. However, Berlin has informed the Reparation Commission that because of the economic crisis, Germany will be unable to pay the reparations installments due in January and February. The peace in Ireland seems to be holding following both the House of Lords and the House of Commons' overwhelming support for the creation of a new Irish Dominion. The last Republican prisoners have been released from Abercorn Barracks in County Down. Trouble elsewhere in His Majesty's dominions. In India, C.R. Das, the president-elect of the Indian National Congress, and Abul Kalam Azad, the president of the Bengal Caliphate Committee, are among the 600 persons who have been arrested under the India Sedition Act in order to prevent protests during the visit of the Prince of Wales. Parliament has now extended the Sedition Act's jurisdiction to Burma, where His Royal Highness is also scheduled to visit. At Allahabad, the Prince has been warmly welcomed by a small crowd, overwhelmingly from the European community, while almost all native Indians have chosen to boycott the celebrations. Do you know where the Jezreel Valley is? It's in the British Mandate of Palestine, and it seems to be proving popular with Jews, somewhat to the bewilderment of the authorities. Just 2 months ago, Jewish settlers were advised not to found the first Moshav Ovdim, a kind of workers' cooperative village in the valley, because it was a malaria-infested swamp. But they are draining the swamp and literally ploughing ahead. And in barely 10 weeks, they have now founded four other settlements in the valley, three kibbutzes, a type of farming community, and a second Moshav Ovdim. Mandate officials are watching with interest. At the Old Bailey in London, John William Gott has been sentenced to 9 months in jail with hard labour. What did he do? Well, he was found guilty of blasphemous libel for describing Jesus entering Jerusalem, quote, like a circus clown on the back of two donkeys. Mr. Gott has served several prison terms for similar provocations, but never so severe.
All the night girls love the sailor. All the night girls love the tar. All the something about the sailor. Well, you know what sailors are. Right and breezy, free and easy. He's the lady's pride and joy. Falls in love with hate and gain, then he's off to sea again. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy.
All the the nice girls love a sailor, but if your tastes run to Japanese tars, they may be in shorter supply. Japan has agreed to accept the 5-5-3 ratio on total tonnage of ships in the Imperial Japanese Navy. 5-5-3 means that while the Royal Navy and the US Navy will be at parity, Japan will be permitted only 3/5 of what the British and the Americans have. In Washington, the U.S. Secretary of State says it's not anti-Japanese, but merely based on the total amount of coastline, including colonial possessions, that each power has to defend. So the Royal Navy can keep 20 warships, the U.S. Navy its current 18, and the Japanese just 10. The United States and Japan have reached an agreement regarding Yap and other South Pacific Island territories given to Japan by the League of Nations. Washington has agreed to recognize Tokyo's mandate in return for the U.S. having equal rights as Japan on access to undersea cables and wireless service, as well as a guarantee that American missionaries and teachers will be protected. Not such good news in Sino-Japanese negotiations. Talks have broken down after Japan announced that it will not cede the Tsingtao to Sinan Railroad to Chinese control, regardless of compensation. In Washington, California Congressman John Elston has been found dead in the Potomac River 2 days after he went missing. Mr. Elston, who represented the area around the San Francisco Bay, had failed to answer roll call in the House of Representatives, and detectives had been dispatched to find him. He left a suicide note in his coat, found on the bank of the river near the Washington Monument. It read, quote, "I am in a chain of circumstances that spell ruin, although my offence was innocently made in the beginning. I hope all the facts will come out. Staying means embarrassment to my district and to a worthy people, clean and generous." In the town of Franklin, Kansas, some 2,000 immigrants, mostly the wives of striking miners, formed a mob and attacked with red pepper and rocks what they called the scabs who had come to replace the strikers. The Kansas National Guard has been sent in to restore order. The Nobel Prizes have been announced in Stockholm. There are not a lot of them. It was decided that none of the nominations in physics, chemistry or medicine met the terms of Alfred Nobel's will. But the prize for literature went to the poet and novelist Anatole France in recognition of his brilliant literary achievements, characterized as they are by a nobility of style, a profound human sympathy, grace, and a true Gallic temperament. The Nobel Peace Prize is to be shared between Prime Minister Hjalmar Branting of Sweden and Christian Lang of Norway, quote, "for their lifelong contributions to the cause of peace and organized internationalism." The distinctive sound of Sergei Prokofiev, but you almost certainly will not have heard that work before. It's Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3, which has been performed for the very first time by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra with the composer himself at the piano. In sports news, following the Football Association's ban on the use of its facilities by ladies, representatives of 30 women's football teams have come together in Liverpool to form the English Ladies Football Association. Sir Arthur Pearson was one of the most successful press tycoons of his time. Founder of the Daily Express, the first London newspaper to publish news rather than advertisements on its front page. Worsening eyesight forced him to sell his various businesses. Completely blind, he stepped into his bathtub, fell and struck his head, then slumped into the water and drowned. Sir Arthur was 55. George Ashlin was the architect of Blackrock College in Dublin, Queenstown Cathedral and some 50 other churches. He was president of the Royal Institute of the Architects of Ireland. Mr. Ashlin is dead at 54. Victor Jacobi seemed to many the coming man in Hungarian operetta, with such popular confections as The Haughty Princess and The Brave Hussar. And on the eve of the war that swept away the Habsburg Empire and so much of its musical culture, perhaps his best work, Sybil. Victor Jacobi had been staying in New York. He is dead of an unknown ailment at the age of 38. Henrietta Swan Leavitt was a pioneering American astronomer who discovered the period-luminosity relationship for Cepheid variables, enabling astronomers to measure distances up to 20 million light years. She is dead of cancer at 53. Sir John Nixon was a senior commander of the Indian Army with a distinguished military record, but in the late World War, he led his men into the disastrous Mesopotamian campaign against the Ottoman troops and took the blame for it in the official investigation that ended his career. Sir John is dead at 64. Bosan Wai Yuk is said to be the first Chinese student to be educated in Great Britain. He returned to Hong Kong to become a prominent banking magnate and an invaluable aide to successive governors as a member of the Legislative Council. Sir Bosan is dead at 72. Camille Saint-Saëns' Piano Concerto No. 2 was played by the composer, a towering figure in French music these last six decades. Monsieur Saint-Saëns gave a brilliant recital at the Institut de France just last month and then departed for his usual winter in Algiers. There he was felled by a massive heart attack. Camille Saint-Saëns is dead at 86. Your World News Update. The messy aftermath of the Great War is gradually being cleaned up. Instruments of ratification have been exchanged for the peace treaty between America and Hungary, meaning the state of war between the US and the Austro-Hungarian Empire is finally at an end. More good news. Austria and the nascent state of Czechoslovakia have agreed to submit ongoing disputes about the border between them to international arbitration. Everybody's step to the syncopated rhythm, let's be going with them. At the Washington Disarmament Conference, U.S. Secretary of State Charles Evans Hughes has extended his 5-5-3 ratio in naval power between Britain, America, and Japan to a rather more cumbersome 5-5-3-1.75-1.75 ratio. Under the scheme, the French and Italian navies will be permitted to have 35% of the total warship tonnage of the Royal Navy or the US Navy. Lord Lee, Great Britain's First Lord of the Admiralty, has proposed the abolition of all submarine warships. Currently, America and Britain have over 80,000 tons of submarines, while Japan, France, and Italy have less than 35,000. A new prime minister has been named in the Republic of China, for whatever that's worth. Of more relevance to world affairs, maybe the reorganization of his own government by the Chinese warlord Zhang Zuolin, Supreme Governor of Manchuria, who has appointed Yan Huqing, currently a delegate to the Washington Disarmament Conference, as his foreign minister.
Why, gonna change my long, tall one for a little short back. I'm gonna change my number where I'm living at, because nobody wants you when you're old and gray. There's gonna be some changes, maybe there'll be some changes made.
There'll be some changes made, and then there'll be some more changes made. Sir George Fuller took office as Premier of the Australian state of New South Wales and appointed his ministry, including such eminent men as Sir Arthur Cox and the former Premier Sir Joseph Carruthers. That was in the morning. In the afternoon, Sir George and his fellow ministers were all obliged to resign following the loss of a confidence vote in the House. With a term of just 7 hours, George Fuller is the shortest-serving Premier in the history of New South Wales and indeed of the British Empire. In the United States, the Senate has passed the Russian Famine Relief Act and approved the appropriation of $20 million. Subject to the condition that all purchases of food be made in the US and shipped to the Soviet Union in American vessels. Are you a civilian employee of the US government working in the Panama Canal Zone? If so, you have hitherto enjoyed the benefit of having your rent and utilities paid by American taxpayers. Now, President Harding has directed that government employees will be responsible for their own rent and other expenses. Have you for some time felt that the world needs a new moth? Well, it now has one. The new species of Lepidoptera was discovered by the entomologist Charles Clark at Opoo in New Zealand and has been named Batrachedra astricta. It is distinguished from the similar Batrachedra tristicata by the absence of the round black apical spot on the forewings, as well as a lack of elongated stigmata. In sports news, Poland's new football team has played its first international match in Budapest. It lost to Hungary 1-0. Just 8 years ago, the Indian polymath Rabindranath Tagore became the first non-European to win the Nobel Prize in Literature. He has long had reservations about the British education system and has championed open-air learning on the grounds that being taught within four walls constrains the mind. Mr. Tagore has now put his preferred system into place in the new Visva Bharati College in Santiniketan in Bengal, where students will learn in the open air under the mango trees.
My God. come soon. It's safe to see none, till her mother comes through. And still on when I'm free, at dinner, supper or feast, she loves to shimmy with me, and her mother does too.
Ah, but when you go and sulk at the club, then have a bath and a rub, do you ever look at the label on the towel? In 1887, James Cannon founded the Cannon Mills Company, and not long thereafter, what is now known as the North Carolina municipality of Cannopolis, where its manufacturers are based. Mr. Cannon is responsible for the first towel ever made in the American South. From that modest start, his company is now the world's largest producer of towels. He is dead at 69. RAF Captain Edmund Tempest was a formidable flying ace during the late World War, with at least 17 acknowledged victories that downed multiple German Fokkers. His bravery earned him the Military Cross and the Distinguished Flying Cross. Latterly, he had been serving in the British Mandate of Mesopotamia following an accidental plane crash at the Royal Air Force Base west of Baghdad. Captain Tempest is dead at the age of 27. Hans von Besseler was the German commander who took the Belgian city of Antwerp and was then made Governor General of occupied Poland. On the day the armistice was signed, November 11th, 1918, he fled in disguise back to Germany, a broken man. The Germans despised him for being too lenient with the Poles, and the Poles despised him for being too Prussian. General von Besseler is dead at 71. Dmitry Parsky was a distinguished commander of the Imperial Russian Army on the Eastern Front, and the first Tsarist general to go over to the Red Army. I am far from this Bolshevism you preach, he said, but I am ready to work honourably with anyone, even the devil and his disciples, if only to save Russia from German slavery. General Parsky is dead of typhus at 56. In 1885, the German microbiologist Julius Petri invented what is now known as the Petri dish, in which a warm liquid containing the jelly-like substance agar is allowed to cool and solidify before whichever microbe-laden sample is then placed in the dish. The Petri dish quickly became a familiar sight in laboratories around the world. The dish lives on, but Herr Petri is dead at the age of 69. Tuck him to sleep in his old Tucky home. Henry Watterson was a Confederate soldier turned Pulitzer Prize-winning writer, editor, and publisher who made the Louisville Courier Journal a must-read until he fell out with its new owner a couple of years ago. Sample quotes of his bold, forceful writing style. One, on being rebuked for criticizing the Democrats. Things have come to a hell of a pass when a man can't whip his own jackass. Two, On American destiny, we are a great imperial republic destined to exercise a controlling influence upon the actions of mankind and to affect the future of the world as the world was never affected, even by the Roman Empire. Mr. Waterson is dead at 81. And that's the way of the world. December 1921.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.